You might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And perhaps we can have a word of prayer, and God help us as we're looking at your word, God, in order to understand you, the word. Thank you. So deal with us and give us an understanding heart that we might be the immediate beneficiaries of all that you're doing. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. First Corinthians. And chapter 10, you will note, God is reminding us here and elsewhere to God has recorded in the Old Testament, God has recorded all that is needful and helpful in order for believers to benefit from history, to benefit and learn. That's the purpose of recording it, so that we know. We learn something about God. 1 Corinthians 10, picking up, please, in verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent purpose that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And sliding down now in the light of that, verse 9, let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, verse 11, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. Why? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The lesson, verse 12. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. A warning from history. Here's Israel with all the different things, and Israel failed often, repeatedly. They didn't learn. Here we have a reminder of the Old Testament exercises of Israel, and in the process we are reminded in verse 12, make sure you stay on your knees when you're on the mountaintop. Don't jump for joy, I'm on the mountaintop, yay! No, don't do that. When you're up there, get down and stay down low. Stay down, it's a time of danger when everything, it looks good. A danger. Therefore, in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, you won't go through anything you can't do, God won't let anything happen that you can't succeed in. And if God lets it happen, and it's overwhelming, God will make sure that you can get through it. That's what you need to know. God won't put you through anything that is not going to honor him. And in the process, he's going to be faithful, and he knows what you're going through, and so you'll live in the world like everybody else does. Now, having said that, the lesson. Here we are looking at Achan. So, over if I can to Deuteronomy Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Just a reminder. Deuteronomy 8. And, if I may, chapter 8, picking up in, if I can, verse 7. Well, I need verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Remember now what in Egypt, what did they do? We're told, what did they have? What was their job in Egypt? In order to get water at the end of the Nile, they had to go and pump water into the fields to grow their crops and everything. That's what they had to do. And they had to keep your feet going to pump the water down the little channels into where they needed it. In the land where he's going to send them, which he sent in Palestine, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't need to work with your feet anymore. I'm going to have it all come down, water everywhere. Now, sliding along, verse 9, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. He's given you everything. Beware, danger, beware. Verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in the keeping of his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hath built goodly houses, and you live and dwell in them therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and the silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Danger. When you're in, everything looks good, you're in danger. Stay down on your knees looking to God, because that's the time. You would think, no, but it is the time. Your old nature is going to take advantage. Now, back over, if I can, to Joshua. And in chapter 7. And you recall, what did Joshua do? He saw those goodly things, the garment of Babylonian garment and the gold and the silver. And he did that. He took it. He saw it. It was attractive. Now, that's one thing. That's his problem. Now, what's the problem with the rest of the people, though? He got a problem, that's true. It's going to be trouble, but so do the rest of the people. What is their problem? They just had a remarkable event, the victory in Jericho. The wall came down. They did everything according to God's direction, and God gave them an awesome victory. The walls came down flat. Two walls like this around the city. The walls came down flat to the ground, and so much so that they could walk across them. Remember we shared it last time. If you had a big pile of rocks, you got to climb over them. They didn't have to climb over. God pulverized them down like that. God did that. Two walls. They could just walk across. Wow. That's exciting. That's something. And here's the Israelite soldiers. Wow, boy. So here's I, and here's I 13 miles or so, up ahead there from Jericho, whatever. And in the process, we don't need to go, as you know, chapter 7, and picking up that they said, you know, chapter 7, verse 3, 4, 5, what do they say? Well, we don't need, there's nothing to do this. We can tackle I like nothing at all. So, thank you, God, we're going. Wrong move. And they didn't go to God. They didn't look to God. They didn't, and in their excitement, they forgot God. What else did they forget? It was holy ground. Every place that the sole of their foot should tread, Joshua 1, 2, 3, 4, every place that they would sit, God had given it to them already. There was no way for them to fail. They had only success. But it had to be understood that you had to go and be in tune with God, in touch with God, going with God to have all that God had. You can't have all the blessings of God without God. How are you going to have peace of God without God? How are you going to have the mercy of God without God? Well, you can't. You can't have anything. You got to include God. And when you leave him out, which is what they did, they left him out because they figured we're quite capable in and of and by ourselves. We're going to get to where we are, jumping ahead to into the, where we are now in the church. If you were in the early church, they're looking to God. Acts 2 with that. At the end, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, Laodicea, we don't need God. We don't need God. We don't need anything, God. We'll do it all by ourselves. That's what we did. That's where we are. The problem, we didn't learn from history. We didn't learn from Achan. We didn't learn from the Old Testament that which we do understand. It's holy ground. And you can't leave God out in order to have victory. You can't get so excited that you forget God. Therefore, and God's wonderful, wonderful working, the ground is holy ground. And God's going to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful way. Now, capital I, get that a little better, if we can, God. So Achan's a bad example, but so are the people. The people should have been, Joshua should have even caught it, but he didn't. He didn't do it. So, but they're on holy ground, and all the ground, every place that they put their foot, God had given it to them. So they couldn't lose if they would just go with God. But they didn't. Now, every place that they put their foot, God had given them in his grace. Now, but you've got to go on God's way in looking to God. Now, so when we think of the God doing what he does, every place is holy. Now, which part of the land that God has set apart, you have to turn there, Joshua 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, all the way through Euphrates River, all the way over, wow, Babylon, all of that, Tigris, all of that, wow, God to give it to them. Now God gave it. All of that is holy ground. So when you go, you're on holy ground. You're always on God's ground. You're always on God's ground. That's where God is providing everything, on God's ground. It's holy ground. Now, having said that, so there is no place that it isn't God. There's no, of the 600 plus thousand men, military they have, of the wonderful, wonderful place they had to go forward, as it were, Not every single man would be on holy ground. No matter whether they were on this side or that side, they would go forward and they were on holy ground. Therefore, they had to be looking to God, each man. Each person that was involved on this piece of property had to understand they looked to God. Every single person needs to be looking to God as they are, as it were, here on holy ground. And therefore, God deals with the whole. God's dealing with his body. God's dealing with his people in a wonderful way. If you and I were to look, and you can do it just for the exercise, we're coming back here, over to Book of Acts in chapter 4, and remind yourself, here we are, Acts chapter 4, picking up, if I may, a little simple word. Acts 4, in verse 33. And with great, this is apostles and believers, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Which person, where wasn't grace? If you were looking at them, here they are assembled, looking to God. On which person wasn't God being gracious? God was being gracious on every single one of them. What are we doing with Israel? Every single one of you are on holy ground. Every single one of you. You honor me. You can't be and have all that I have for you. Apart from that, you have to be God. You're dealing with all. That's all to do it. Do it a different way, you know. In Genesis 2:17, know that. The day that you eat of the one tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely, absolutely, you're going to die with certainty. So, one tree. Just one tree. You could have made 10 trees, God, but you didn't. You just made one tree to get them to pay attention to who you were. That's your grace. Looking to God. They look to God and just don't do that. And they would, Adam and Eve would have done that until they sinned. Now, having said that, now comes their unbelief and Israel by way of Moses and God, the Ten Commandments. And what are we going to do with the Ten Commandments? Now God, here we are, here's Israel, and what are we going to do, God? All of us are there, and all of us are there doing what we're doing. Now, over in the process, God's going to go and do what he does. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, what else do we need to know? Deuteronomy 27. When you come, Deuteronomy 27, when you come to the end of the chapter, the curses, here's the last one, and verse 26, Deuteronomy 27, 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth, is not firm, locked in to make it happen, cursed is he that confirmeth not, doesn't make it happen, all the words of the law, of this law, to do them. And all the priests, all the people shall say, Amen. How much of the law? All of it. All of it. How about a little other part? No. All the law. And you know from James chapter 2, if you offend in one point, James 2, 10, you're guilty of what? All of it. One point, you're guilty of the whole thing. The airplane going over the mountain again. The airplane's going over the mountain, as it were, and going over the mountain, it decides to be not high enough, and it misses the mountain by 2 feet. 2 feet. Two little feet. Up in there, there's the mountain, and the plane didn't hit the middle of the mountain and crash. It just hit the 2 feet at the top, and that's all it needed to terminate the flight, wasn't it? Just the 2 feet of the mountain ended the flight. God said, one point, guilty of all. Why? Because God is in each place. Each place that you go, that's God's place. Each man, that's each man, person, woman, believer, that stands in that place is in God's place. That's where God's place is. But it doesn't seem, it isn't much. It is. It is. God's there. And you know from Deuteronomy and chapter 23 in that, that chapter 23 where he tells them, make sure you clean the camp. Literally, clean the camp from waste. That's what they had to do. And that's why they had on this sword, this shovel, they had a shovel and a spear, whatever. And they had it. Why? They had to make sure they kept everything buried. Because here's 2.5 million people. That's a lot of stuff out there. So what are you going to do? Make sure everything's covered. Because God said, when I walk as among you, I don't want to see anything on that ground, a waste. I don't want to see it. Don't want to see anything. It's holy ground. Holy ground. It's God. It's just a little thing, a little spot. It's God's. How many sins make you a sinner? How many sins make you a sinner? Just one. Just one sin. That's all. Just one sin. You're a sinner. Just one sin? Uh-huh. God, can you allow one wrong sin in your holy, happy heaven? Can you allow one wrong sin? You can't. Not one. One piece of cancer. It's only one little piece of cancer. You can't have no piece of cancer. No sin. None whatsoever. You need to get the movement. Here's Achan, and here's the people. And they're there. And they have failed. They flunked. They didn't make it. And they fought I turned around and drove them back and killed 36 of their people. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to do what you're going to do in the way that you're going to do it, and only you can outwork it. You're going to do the law, the whole, and so here's the believers, and here's the whole body of believers. I'll do the body part. The body, here's your physical body. Here it is. It's your physical body. You don't have all of the different parts of your body. Wonderfully, you have your fingerprints. God puts the fingerprints on you so you can sense things. If you take away your fingerprints, you couldn't sense. That's all those little doojiggies on your little line, whatever they are. The FBI uses them. And here they are. That's how you feel. Your tongue, taste, wonderful. Everything's in your system. There's nothing in your system that isn't wonderful, from your nails to protect you. Your big toe, little toe, all of them, all there. All of it's there. Now, which part of your body would you say can go bad to you? Which part of the body don't you care about that could go bad? Over to Ephesians. Every part of your body you're concerned about. You want your body healthy. The whole thing healthy. That's what you want. God wants his people to be holy so that they can enjoy God's wonderful person, That's what they need to be to enjoy God. And you can't. But God, what's a little acorn? What's a little? You can't. Because the little thing that you think is little is a problem, is a big problem. And it's going to be a bigger problem if you don't deal with it. So Achan, we've got to go and deal with Achan. Achan is a bad example. And Achan needs to fix the example, which he is going to do. So therefore, back over to Joshua. And in Joshua, as we went in chapter 7 and that, and in the process, he went and took chapter 6, 18, 17 and 18. He took of the accursed thing. The word accursed is the word to separate something from being common, to separate it so you can't, to separate it for God, to separate it for the temple, to separate it so that you can't touch it, to destroy it. In this case, to set something apart, to destroy it. That's what it's going to do, to set it apart, accursed. It's cursed. It's set apart for destruction. And what did Achan do? He saw these wonderful things, and he went and took them and hid them under his tent. That's what he did. So he did something he shouldn't have done. It was caught up with it. It was understandably attractive and would give you prestige to be able to have such a thing, such a Babylonian rich garment, like a king would have worn. Wow. To have the gold, wow. That would have been something. But Achan, that's what Achan was caught up with, and therefore his problem. And so he is gone, and he becomes accursed. And the Israelites, when they, remember, chapter 6, and in verse 18, I'll read it again, and ye, if any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. It's going to make trouble for everybody because the little part of your body that you didn't care about is a problem to the whole body, and you've got to deal with it. And so therefore, you can't just let it go. You've got to deal with it. Signing on in chapter 7 and that. So here's Achan, and Achan is going to go, and he is going to, as we shared together, Achan is going to be pinned down by God and comes before all the people are there, and Achan has to come forth, his household, and then Achan is judged. Interestingly and helpfully, chapter 7, in process, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now, what hast thou done? Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. In other words, he didn't hold back. He was straightway honest with Achan, with Joshua. Achan was honest with Joshua straightway. He made a confession. He didn't apologize. He didn't hold back. He told them what he needed to know without any question. And therefore, I missed the mark, verse 20. I missed the mark. I sinned. I failed to do what I should have done. Therefore, now, keeping that in mind, there is, in the process now, Achan is going to go and tell them just what they need to know. He doesn't hold back. He makes no attempt to excuse himself. He doesn't try to excuse himself. What he did, and he understands he did it. There's no way to excuse himself. He isn't trying to hold back anything. And in the process, he has no complaint on the severity of the judgment. Look it over, chapter 7, verse 15. Chapter 7, verse 15. And the person that God's going to point out will be judged. It shall be, he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly, foolishness, wickedness in Israel. What are you going to do? So, Achan, you never complained about this. You knew what the judgment was. You never complained about it. No. And you didn't even tell it to be delayed. You didn't say, well, couldn't we think of it? Give me a little time. He never said that. He's looking to understand, to fix something quickly. That's why, like in first, we're doing in 1 John. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin after we think about it 3 or 4 days. No. You do it. Boom. And get on your feet and get going. Why? Because you understand and you're giving honor to God that he has forgiven you. That's why you do it. You don't play games with it and feel that you should be repentant a little more. You should feel a little better, and you should feel it. Don't. You want to honor God. And the quicker you do it, the better. Saves you a lot of time. And you'll fix things quicker. Now, having said that, so here's Achan. There he's going to be executed. And God is going to bring about the blessing. And like in Habakkuk 3 and 2, we see it together. In wrath, remember mercy, God. Remember your mercy. So, here's what's happening. And everything there about Achan is there. And they're going to go. They're going to take him. Well, let me pick it up in the context. And verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep. He was pretty good. And his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. The word Achor is trouble. That's the word trouble. Trouble, that you have it. It'll be trouble in chapter 6, 18. That's the word, trouble, trouble, trouble. You're going to be to stir up sorrow, grief, agitation, to cause everything to be all wrought up. It's going to make trouble. So therefore, and that valley is here's Gilgal, and going south and west, south of Gilgal and west, and west back this way, two or three miles, that's where the valley, it's a valley, a low valley. Here's Gilgal and here's the valley. And what are we going to do? It's a valley. And in verse, and Joshua 7:25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? He wants to know why you caused us trouble. Why you caused us trouble. And the Lord shall trouble you. In other words, you brought trouble to us. May the Lord bring trouble to you. 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. In other words, they stoned them, they're all killed, and now they burn them. And then what are they going to do after they did that? They went and did what? And all Israel obviously didn't stone him, because that's too many stones. Too many. But they were there. They stoned him. Now, verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones. The word heap of stones, you'll see it elsewhere. When God ruined a city, when a city was conquered, and the ruins, like Titus conquering the city, the ruins are all piled up high. It's a pile of ruins. That's the word, the heap of stones, a pile of ruins. What are we going to do? We're going to look at this place, and what are you going to do? You're going to cover Achan and the people with stones, and you're going to burn them and going to cover the pile with stones. It's going to be a big pile, like a ruined city. So when any of us ever come by, here's Gilgal, the headquarters, just south. Here's this big heap of stones. You can't miss it. Don't forget Achan. Learn the lesson of Achan. Don't leave me out of the picture. Don't try to get everything in life apart from me. Let me be your guide and let me do the job. God said, I am going to be a father to the believing heart, and I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing and take care. It is my wonderful, wonderful assignment, said God, to take care of you. That's right. God's wonderful, wonderful assignment to take care of you. And how many believers are letting God take care of him? They don't. Now, having said that little bit, here's the valley. And this valley, and in the end of verse 25, the Lord turned from his fierceness, the burning, the fire, the glowing of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor. Achor means trouble, disturbing, all upset, agitation, strife. It's the Valley of Achor unto this day. So what are we looking at? Well, here's the valley, and the valley is there, and it's marked. Why did you mark this valley south of Gilgal, etc.? Why did you mark that? It's the trouble. It's where we had trouble. Did we learn from the trouble? That's the question. Are we going to remember this pile of rubble? Are we going to remember this pile? It's awful hard to be around it. There's the 12 stones near Gilgal out of the Jordan. Those are 12 stones. But boy, this pile is rather obvious. You can't miss it. Wow, God covered it all with a pile of stones, as it were, a heap of ruins. That's what he did. So what? You won't forget. Don't forget Achan. Don't forget. Make sure you do. And then, fortunately, in the rest of their battle, they did wonderful, and they won. They beat the kings in a most wonderful way. But they learned the lesson. It was costly, a costly lesson. The trouble is, that once they got the land conquered, then they had problems. And Joshua will say, at the end of his time, he'll say to them, as for me, you guys, that we've got to serve the Lord. Each one has their piece of property that God has given them. And we have got to go and serve the Lord. That's what we've got to do. I can't tell you, I can't make you serve the Lord. You have to want to serve the Lord. Therefore, said Joshua, I'm going to serve the Lord. You have to make a decision. As for me and my house, said Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord. What you guys do, whatever you're going to do. And you know what they did. They all went downhill with idolatry. That's what it did. But you have to make a decision. So here we are looking, and God has to go and help us in every way to look to God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over, and here's God's wonderful, wonderful working and doing what he does in a most wonderful way. And Achan took what he could not enjoy. He couldn't enjoy it. What's the sense in trying to get everything? And when you're all done, you lose the joy and peace of being a child of God. You lose your Heavenly Father relationship. because you're trying to make it in the world. And the world wants you to get caught up, attractive. The world's very, it attracts, it tempts, it gets us. We're caught up in it. And so we're caught up. Why? We forget God. We forget God. And that we don't want to do. So therefore, what do we want to learn? Well, we want to learn what? That God meant his wonderful person and presence to take care of them in an exceeding, not a human way, an unhuman way. God would keep them in sickness and health and all the problems and all the needs of their life. God would take care of them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. All they had to do was trust God and look to God, but they just didn't do it. They should have done it, but they didn't. And therefore, what are they going to do? They're caught up in trying to get things. Now, the people aren't, but after Achan, after the defeat of the kings, after they had their piece of property, then they did the same thing that Achan did. They tried to get everything, and we want to be like the nations. We want to be like them and have what they have the way they have it. And we don't want to have the way they have it. God takes care of us if we're going to trust him as his children. God's going to take care of us in a most wonderful, wonderful way and help us in every way. Now, having said that, over if I can, so you see it a little better, over if I can, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, and you will note, 1 John chapter 2, just to remind you and myself, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world system. And the world system, verse 17, is passing away, and the lust thereof, it's all going to disappear. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so we're going to do. We're not going to get caught up in the system. God's going to take care. And God can do that any way he wishes to do, to help us, to trust him. And we learn to trust him. And we have a benefit. You can thank God for the systems we have, and even as they are difficult in some ways, medically and food-wise, we can go to the store and there's 25 different kinds of cheese and everything. Wow, there's parts of the world you'd just be glad to find a piece of cheese. But here we are. We got all the benefits. And thank God for them. But we don't want to get hold of, we don't want to have our hands grabbing them too tightly. Whatever we have, like in 1 Corinthians 7, I do that. 1 Corinthians 7. And in the process, 1 Corinthians 7, if I may. And you'll catch it in verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not. In other words, the pressure of that day was so bad. In other words, I'll go up to verse 28. And if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare. In other words, life is going to get so difficult that you don't want to have burdens you don't have to have. Sliding down. Verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess. In other words, you don't get caught up in the having, weeping, joying, having, enjoying life. Don't get caught up in it. Verse 34, and they that use to make for profit, to exercise, and they that use this world, use it. You got to use it. That's how we go to the grocery store. They that use this world, and not abusing it, not oversow. For the fashion of this world passes away, and you'll not need any more cheese. There'll be no more cheese. No more choice. No more. It's all gone. God's going to do that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so you want God, you want us to what? To be able to enjoy. Now, two things, if I can. Hold your, we're going to go back. Joshua and chapter 1. In God's wonderful, wonderful care. Joshua chapter 1, picking up, if I may, going directly to verse 15 of the 2.5 tribes. Joshua 1, 15. Now, they were given instructions to go and fight with, so you had the whole 12 tribes. Verse 15, until the Lord hath given you your brethren rest, till you've won all the kings, as he had given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then, when everything is put in order, then you can go to your piece of property. Then you shall go, and you shall return unto the land of your possession, and, as a little word, enjoy, what? Enjoy it. Enjoy the piece of cheese. Enjoy it. Let's go on. God says, now, do it a little differently. Slide over to the New Testament. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, if I can. In chapter 6, you know it, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. What are we to trust in? In the living God, who giveth us richly, all things to what? To enjoy. That's God. God didn't want us to be sad and beaten up. That's only there to help us to get to the point where we have, God brings us to a, like we did in Psalm 66, to bring us to a wealthy place, saturated. God's wonderful, wonderful grace to bring us to all of this. So therefore, God, you're going to go, and that we're going to become content with such things as we have. God, we're not having and holding earthly things. We have them, thank God for them, but we aren't trusting in them. We aren't holding them too tightly at all. God, we're going to look, and we aren't going to fret. We aren't going to fume. We aren't going to get in trouble of trying to compete. No, we're looking to God to take care of us inch by inch, foot by foot. And when it's all done, Israel was his team. The church is his body. And what do we know about the church? God, what are we going to do? Here's Achan. I want to learn from Achan. Achan, help me. New Testament, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. What am I to do? Work out my own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I need God. I can't work out anybody. I don't work out Achans. Lots of Achans, people, all kinds. Can't work out other people's life. That's what Joshua says when he's done. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You guys are going to do what you're going to do. What is for me and my heart, God, search me. I have to work out my own salvation. I have to work out my relationship. And if I do that properly, I'll bless the assembly. If I'm doing my part properly, the assembly will be blessed, and so will you bless me. That's what I'm going to do. God, I got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And God, you have to help me in every way. And therefore, enjoy. Enjoy. Is that part of it? No. That's some of God's taking care of it. If I had to worry about it, and God tells me, God tells you, what? To stop worrying, Philippians 4:6. Stop it. That's a command. Present tense. Stop. Worry is sin. Worry gets you in trouble. You don't want to do that. So you stop worrying. I don't have to worry. I want to trust God. Because we came to know Him as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Father. Thank you, Lord. We are children of the King, are we not? So, our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Thank you for all of this. Thank you for your just being, thank you, so that we can thank you, God. We will thank you anyway. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, help us. Thank you.